looks like now. I've done this so that we can really see what's happening with the radiation. Because these are radiating 24/7. You can't shut them off. And they're radioing data to collection meters. I don't know where they are now. Oh, thank you. Yeah, so everybody could see. Yeah, it's worse for those who are in close proximity. You see the apartment buildings where whoever's on the other side of the wall is going to be socked by this. And so I have to say, well, what's next? We've collectively created this by the individual decisions that we've made. I want to say, last month, I brought to your attention the Hubeck study that recently came out that confirmed the causality between the wireless radiation and brain cancer and certain cancers in the heart, high certainty of evidence of this, and then moderate certainty for a number of other cancers. And if you turn this over, the other side, I brought you the images. This is from 2004, from 2012 scientific institutes in 7 countries. And they're not alone. This is a kind of not very expensive and commonly used for analyzing what's going on with either the proteins or the DNA. And in this case, the DNA. It's bombarded by electric field. So here's the control for studying DNA damage. And this is not at all unusual. You can find many images on the web where here's the control not being affected by electromagnetic radiation of any kind. And you see how there's integrity in the image. Here is ionizing gamma radiation, equivalent to a 1600 chest x-rays. And what you see is a breakdown of the DNA. That's what they, it's called the comet assay. You can see, so you get this comet effect. And so that's with ionizing radiation, which our FCC and a lot of people who should know better around the world say, oh, it's only if the radiation can heat that the DNA is going to break down. And as DNA damage is well recognized as a critical factor in cancer development and progression. But these studies, this is just one part of the evidence of it, shows that non-ionizing, meaning you're not having this heat process that brings about the DNA damage, RF, EMF exposure, 24 hours of mobile phone exposure, and you see this same effect, and the scientists see it over and over again. So maybe there's no wonder that there's a rise in testicular cancer, with men keeping their cell phones on in their pockets 24/7, not knowing any better because this information has been suppressed. So the wireless industries, they've said there's no mechanism. Well, harm is harm, and we do know mechanisms, but I wasn't going to talk to you about that today. So, all right.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I want to have a table. I have for you guys, and want to have a table at the community day and have the displays open, because the more we know, when we know better, we can do better.
Laura Sommer.
My husband and I own 11 Maple Avenue, and we've been doing some renovation on the old barn that was behind it, putting a new foundation. And
Marino's old house.
We want to put new electric the two, and in order to do that, we need to lift one piece of sidewalk. And I was told I need to come here and get permission to do that. We understand that if the sidewalk cracks, we'll replace it up to your standards and,
Yeah, it's fine with us.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Good luck, have fun.
Yeah, just replace whatever you damage it to.
Yeah, you'll probably replace it.
I think the, you're probably, it's probably the amount of control to get new sidewalks, because it got halfway past our, got halfway into our property on that side.
That's the man who knows.
Last year, and so.
Do you want this?
That's our sidewalk czar.
Yep, okay.
Okay, thank you.
Eileen?
I had written a letter, and I wanna say thank you very much for all the responses I got. Some reference to the pocket park right across the street here. I've been weeding there regularly, sometimes not so regularly, volunteering for years. It was George and Julia Sedlock and I for a couple of years, and then it was just Julia and I, and this year it's been Nana Saltzman and I. And I feel like, you know, we can't stay ahead of the weeds and all that. And then I'm thinking, well, like, why am I volunteering all my time when we have a DPW, when this park is owned by the village? And it's a lovely little park. It's a great place for people to come. It's a great place for people to gather. It needs, you know, Jason has mentioned that, you know, he's going to be getting benches or, you know, picnic tables. It's a lovely place to be, but it really needs to be kept up, and it's really time-consuming. It's something that the village is equipped for.
We're not equipped for it.
You own it, and it's a lovely
park, and the whole reason the whole reason that we let it go like we did was because there was a group in town, oh yeah, we'll take care of it. If it was the villages to take care of, it would have been a lot more simple than what it is right now. That's why nothing has been done with the ball field. It's simple for us to take care of. We can keep it neat and clean.
Well, to be honest, all the hard work has been done. It's just a matter of weeding the gravel and vinegar and salt and just weeding the gravel.
Yeah, and that's, we had mentioned that when this all started, and we're not equipped to do that, and we don't have the time to do that. We're two guys we have that work the village of Philmont. Sometimes, now that we've merged with the town of Clover, sometimes they work for the town of Clover. They work in the town of Clover. I don't have any control over where they go every day anymore.
I understand.
I just put my requests in.
I understand that. It took 3 weeks to get the pile of weeds moved. I know. I understand. At the same time, it's a beautiful park that the village owns. It's right on Main Street.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure what you want to do with it, but it does take two people about 3 hours steady work to weed it. And we're taking care of the upstairs as well, best we can.
Yeah.
The guy next door at Karen's has been weed whacking sometimes. So so I had proposed, and I was really happy to hear you guys considering getting the land assessed and selling off the upstairs part where no one's ever been. but the downstairs part should really be taken care of. It's really
well,
a lovely
since this has just come to light in the last month or so, we haven't had time to sit down and talk about it at a workshop. We'll talk about it at our next workshop. I'm not sure what's going to come out of it, but you know how this started, and you know what we said when Pocket Park all started.
But going forward, it's a lovely little park, and just needs
I understand that.
And I'm happy to volunteer here and there, but I can't be the person taking care of it. And I thought you did talk about it at the previous workshop. No?
We talked about selling the upstairs part.
Yeah, yeah.
We didn't talk about the maintenance of that.
Anyway, it's again, a lovely park.
Let me talk to the DPW boss and see what he's got for time. Like I said, they're not under my control anymore.
I understand.
Nothing new to report, just ongoing project.
Clerk treasurer.
Tax bills were mailed out on May 30th. They're now due by July 1st without penalty. The updated tax penalties and prior year delinquency list. We submitted the delinquent tax data to real property for those SAR exemption qualifications. Water turnoff is scheduled for tomorrow. Retained some insurance certificates for DOT permits. Benefit deductions and accruals have been updated with payroll. Completed more nice service requests, multiple of them. Piled garbage data for the Climate Smart Committee. I took a webinar on state budget updates. Worked with the broker on health insurance renewal. Approved and approved the final edit of the UPSEU contract. Updated property transfer info in the tax roll and water and sewer program. Another huge thing we did this month was we worked with county IT to switch over to, they're now our IT provider, and Christine and I also got new computers.
Great.
The office will be closed Thursday, June 19th in observance of Juneteenth, and Friday, July 4th in observance of Independence Day.
Thank you.
Close this, what dates are closed? Are we closed?
July 4th.
June 19th.
Okay.
Oh, or June 19th.
Okay, thank you.
June 19th.
So I have the building inspector's report submitted by Lynn Opper. She did two certificates of compliance, one commercial building, 8 rental registries, 4 building permits, 14 tenancy COs, and 1 vehicle storage. So she's done quite a bit.
Yeah. What is the vehicle storage? What is the vehicle storage?
That's
unregistered vehicle
permit, yes. So they're doing real well.
They're doing great. They came to my house.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah. Community center.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
I got library. I'll do it. Just call me. Now, the community center reports are located for 8:45. Building was checked regularly. The scout leaders, the Girl Scouts, Cub Scouts, have been meeting at the center. And there was supposed to be an apron and pocket park program, but it was canceled due to lack of enrollment. She's working on ordering for use of the grant funding. On the morning of June 18th, there will be an interagency day at Columbia Green Community College. The keynote speaker will be Therese Daly, president of United Way of New York. Organizations will have booths explaining the ways in which they serve the citizens of Columbia County. And she has additional information on that if anybody is interested in attending. I know she's also working, I think it was actually the first part of June, there's going to be one of the driver ed classes where you can get a discount on your insurance. She's going to have that for, I believe, July.
Just to follow up, Doug, I spoke to them, the person who told me the number about
Mrs. O'Neill.
Mrs. O'Neill, excuse me. And they're going to get back to me. We're not sure yet. So. Well, we're talking about the little things in the back that grow the vegetables. What do you call those?
Planters.
Planters, thank you. Just so you know, it's not on.
So, yeah, so I guess we're just trying to find out if the Cub Scouts or Girl Scouts want to do it.
They said they did it last year, and somebody came in and planted over their stuff. I was like, oh, okay. So,
Doug and I talked about it. I planted 2 of them because no one ever came. I weeded them. They were, it was just weeds. So yeah. No one had ever come.
Yeah, she didn't sound too confident. Well, if we need to, I'll find out soon, and I'll bring some plants down there for you too. Not a problem. So. All right, library. Damien put a new flagpole in, which is awesome. They're getting 3D printers to possibly print some shields around the lights in the back there to help those people that have too much light coming in their walls, or excuse me, their bedroom windows. We had a bunch of events. They made a bunch of money. And yeah, there's 871 people in the library, 2,400 books. taken out. I will say we did get an update on their ADA compliant door, and I found a quote under $3,000. It looks like that may be going forward very soon. We're gonna have that door installed, so you'll be a push button into the library now without having to open the door. Other than that, not much going on. Summer readings kicked me off, and that's it. It's a quiet month, so.
Vern?
Well, just to add to the code enforcement, they've been pretty busy. We've been working with them with some specific issues. So yeah, there's definitely more that wasn't part of that part, but so they are definitely busy by all means.
Yep.
A lot of communication. So they're doing a great job.
They seem to be working out, right?
Yeah.
Pleasantly surprised.
They're doing well. Calls for service, we had 9, 52 property checks, 4 UTTs, 6 warnings, 4 parking tickets, and 2 assists. Parking tickets are, you know, they're still, you know, on a regular basis up here, so we ride them regularly.
Fine.
So we'll continue to ride them.
They'll either learn or they won't.
Yeah, and it just come down to it with when if they navigate out a little bit further into the road, then we'll tell them because they'll be fully in the road. So, but right now, we've just been still issuing parking tickets on everything.
Can you send me your report?
Yeah, so we're we're going through, as Jess mentioned, we're full-blown IT, working with tracks, DCJS, we're not fully rolled over, but we're pretty close. But it's been a very big undertaking process, to say the least.
If you just want to write something, just write it down.
Yeah, I'll write it, I'll give it to my handwritten now. But it's going well, so
good.
You know, everything's going well.
All right, Sally.
Okay, guys. I just wondered, do you get a printout? Do you, as trustees, just they do? So they do have to.
Yep.
Oh, okay, great, fantastic. So 4 programs to report on. I'm going to be looking for them. So the regular board meeting was held on the 27th of May, attended by the mayor, Dr. Carlin, Dr. Segal, David Bolivar, Carl Schulman, and myself. The Nan Stolzenberg Community Planning Environmental Associates contract with the zoning analysis project has been submitted to the DOS, contracts with the procurement certificates, and thanks to now signing that. Number 3, this is a good thing for Vermont. I researched brownfield development technical assistance and linked through contacts back to the New Jersey technical assistance to brownfields community provided by the New Jersey Institute of Technology. I had a really good conversation with the director, and so we now have access to free technical assistance, which we need in terms of developing the community center site and the parking lot site. So that's now good, it's free, and will help a lot. I'll be able to go and ask various questions, technical questions on both of those sites. So I'm pleased about that. So as we reported earlier, a couple of months, we were in process of getting estimates from the preservation archaeologists required by ship over the Canal Street site development, and we received the first estimate from Hanson Professional Service, and to do the archaeological phase 1A is $14,300. So I think the other estimates will probably come in. I'm going to probably see if I can get one. So moving along to the LWRP, the watershed. Good progress in May has been made, resulting in a June 11th meeting scheduled with the WAC committee. And we did finally get the chapter, the initial rough draft of chapter 9, which is the watershed characterization. So that's the WAC committee have that. We'll have that meeting on June 11th. And then the WAC committee will decide whether they want to make it, if it's ready to go public. And then we'll make it public, give it to them, which is for community consumption. maps. The maps are excellent, I've seen them. Number three, Lobella announced schedule, as reported earlier, to present on the characterization chapter, and that's happening on June 18th at the Pre-Cabaret Library at 7 o'clock. Can you outreach to as many people as you know in the community? We need people to come to that, to listen to this characterization. It's an overview of the characterization of the watershed. But also, there's going to be two things that are involved in it. One, we're going to be putting together, you know, people that are interested in helping as a monitoring project, where, and this will come down to Lobella, saying we need to have this section of the creek tested, water tested, and we need to have this looked at every year. So they're going to formulate a protocol, you know, what needs to be tested on an annual basis. And that comes down to volunteers getting involved and wanting to help with the watershed. So each municipality will have their own team, is how I'm thinking it. And Lobella will say, this is what needs to be monitored in Ghent, in Hillsdale, in Austerlitz, in Claverack, and in Philmont. So, and then that collectively, you know, takes care of the monitoring for that whole watershed.
Can I just ask a follow-up on that? So what would the volunteers be doing?
Actually physically monitoring.
Like collecting the water sample?
Well,
and
it depends on what the protocol is, because Lobella could decide, this is, you know, it'll come down to Lobella and the WAC deciding. It could be that there'd be a monitoring, for instance, looking at plants to make sure that, you know, documenting whether invasive species are moving in. You know, the lake, obviously, Summit Lake is going to have, you know, a different kind of protocol than somewhere in Ghent.
Gotcha.
So I can't really totally answer that.
No, you answered it. They're physically going to be doing the monitoring. And,
be,
okay,
because
thanks.
Because it's not only now, it's into the future. Right? And each watershed actually does have a community-based. Rojan has a really good one. And they continue, and I believe that Claverack does as well. They did a watershed management for.
I think so, yeah.
Is that right? And so it's a very accepted activity. It's pretty cool to be doing in the environment. So, you know, come to that meeting because that's the first time to meet with Lobella. And then.
What time, please?
7 o'clock. 7 to 8, and then we're also going to be announcing a photography competition that night. So, for which will be interesting to give our public input in that. We'll need to take photographs in the watershed. There'll be a competition to see which photographs can be put into the plan, because planners can only take photographs from right of way. Which is why often when you look at these plans, they're dismal photographs, because they can't go on private property. So we're going to see if we can change that dynamic and open it up through a competition. Hawthorne kids are very excited about it, so that we can get more interesting photographs actually engaging with the landscape. Okay, DRI, number three project. So the initial call for proposals is published on May 28th on the village website. And we have a return date of June 20th for proposals. We also put out an announcement on Vermont Makers. I think it's gone out fairly well because I'm beginning to get phone calls for technical assistance. So we've done three of those throughout the day. And those are just basic questions about DRI, how to apply, and, you know, what is eligible, what is not eligible. And just so that you know, and it goes on record, the strategy for building the village website, the DRI landing page, was a strategy to start off with just the information, no images, no pre-judging what might be projects. And that as the projects come in, then we'll know what we've got, and then we'll start to put in images on the website. That we didn't want to predict what the plan and what the project. credits could actually be. So we'd have to just grab a slate there with just text. And then on the, we've done listed six public events, and that's the first one is on, I think, June 29th. And it's a meeting on Sunday, 2 o'clock in the Village Hall, June 29th. We will project up on the screen images and information on all proposals received. And it's not a top-down presentation. If anything, we're hopefully just going to be all sitting around and, you know, discussing what came in and beginning a discussion about the vision, possible goals, possible boundary map. But it's not being done as a top-down presentation. So it's very, very, you know, bottom-up collaborative conversation on that. And answering questions as obviously as they come up. And then the historic district to finish up the report. So far, no calls in May for any additional technical assistance on buildings being planned to be rehabilitated. So that's the update. There's still at 10 buildings. That's my report.
Thanks.
Tom?
The Climate Smart Community met on May 16th, but there's a number of things that just happened today, so let me just go through. There's a collaboration with CloudWork, and there are several things that we're collaborating on. The main one, though, is the newsletter, which is now called the Tri-Town Newsletter, and it includes the film on CloudWork, and Taconic. So I tried to get to it today. It says that it's available on the Collaborate Library website, but I could not locate it, so I've asked them to clear that up. I know I presented an article for the issue that's out now, and I think Susan Mitchie did, so there are possibly two articles from Philmont in that newsletter, and it would be great for people to take a look at it. Things related to the climate, you know, stuff that we're all interested in. The Village Hall decarbonization, we now have a meeting set for June 17th. That's with a consultant to present his findings and have some back and forth with people who know about the building, Climate Smart, and the consultant to set up for him to prepare for his final. And the important thing there is the actual list of items and some estimated cost for those items, because to get any money to do this work, that sources I have contacted, they want you to be very specific on exactly what it's going to go for, and you get in for it, and they'll tell you whether they cover it or not. So we'll have to then we had the what's called the Funding Futures program. We're definitely in the running, and I guess it's the final interview took place today with the candidate, which is Anya Bonanno. We should hear about that grant before the end of June. And that's a really important one. Because it's to reach the entire community and how you want to deal with open space. Certainly the ballpark would be in that mix. But again, this is a collaboration with CloudWork, so we always have to be careful. If we're doing something specific for Philmont, we'll have to do something equal for CloudWork. But we'll get that worked out. So keeping our fingers crossed. And then continuing with the possibility for future funding, I was on a two-hour seminar today. So the New York State DEC has a whole new way. They are administering the funds to go go to Climate Smart Actions. And they have a whole different procedure of how to go for it. What's interesting is there will, like with NYSERDA, where the grant covered everything, that will no longer happen. It will cover, it'll be a 50% match. Mm-hmm. However, in communities with a median income below a certain level, the match only has to be 20%. So I checked it today on the census tract table, and it looks like Philmont is below the minimum that they reported in this seminar. So that's important because a 20% match is small because that match can count staff working in the village office. It can count members of the Climate Smart Committee that are putting work towards the effort. And if it happens to be, you can charge an hourly rate for the profession you're in. So for instance, if I'm an architect and I'm working on architectural work, for instance, for this building, that counts as a full hourly rate for that profession. If I'm doing something else, then it goes to minimum hourly wage. But it's an important thing to keep in mind that that 20% match doesn't have to be cash, and there's a whole list of other things that go in there. So along with, we're meeting this week, the Climate Smart Committee, and we're going to be trying to divvy up who will do the research on these 20 actions or to research how to put in for these grants. One of them that really caught my eye was it's very rare to get consulting work covered by grants, and they will cover mitigation studies. So if we're going to be doing any sort of flood risk or hydrology studies, that is now available, and I think in particular taking a look at the sewage treatment plant to do that would make sense to go through that process. And then we're also there's some grants connected to this group called the New York State Association of Conservation Commissions, which we've decided to join, but it looks like it's the village. It can't be the Climate Smart Community, so the village has to join it. It costs $75 for the annual fee. That money would come out of the Climate Smart holdings. And we have a member who, she said she would take care of it. They have an annual meeting, and I think it's an important group to become a member of because they're really focused on getting money to communities for outdoor spaces. Where does that money come from, and how to work through that process? So just to probably go in the workshop, but is the village becoming a member of this association, does that have to be approved? Or it's only open to the municipality. So.
We have to make a motion in a meeting, but we haven't discussed it yet. So,
I mean, so this question was, does it have to be approved? Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes or yes.
It's got to be a motion in a meeting.
Okay.
Is there any urgency, or can it be passed next, or the motion be brought up next month?
No, the annual meeting happens in October.
Okay.
You should be a member before then.
Okay.
Hopefully that's enough time.
If I don't forget it.
Sorry?
If I don't forget it.
Oh.
Tom will remind you.
And I finally heard back from Cumberland.